Liver disease is responsible for about 4% of global annual deaths, and the main reason it's fatal is because wait times for a replacement kidney are just far too long. This might no longer be the case, because a revolutionary new treatment is promising to change everything. For the first time, a pig liver has been successfully transplanted into a human. From the invention of a type of concrete that's carbon negative to a landmark study that shows tackling the climate emergency will improve the world economy. This is your monthly dose of good news. Hey, I'm your host Regis, and let's get the good vibes rolling with a story from Greece, where a rare seal has bounced back from extinction. The Mediterranean monk seal is unique because it's the only seal species currently found in the Mediterranean Sea. They're extremely fast swimmers, and they're able to devour up to 3 kilograms of fish, octopus, and squid every day. Since the 15th century, however, these beautiful creatures were nearly hunted to extinction. That's because they're prized for their meat, fur, and blubber. And fishermen view them as pests because they like to tear through nets for an easy meal. By the 1960s, they were classed as critically endangered by the IUCN. Thankfully, though, things started to get better around the 1980s or so. Conservation programs and efforts to educate the public about them saw their population shoot up for the first time in half a millennia. Last year, the IUCN moved them from endangered to vulnerable. The Greek charity MOM, which is dedicated to the protection of the seal, has a lot to do with this. A reference to the animal's scientific name, Monachus monachus, MOM has been preserving these iconic mammals for over 30 years. If a monk seal is found close to death in the wild, they're transferred to one of the organization's rehabilitation centers. After being nursed back to health, the animal is then reintroduced back into the Greek seas. Over the years, MOM has looked after over 40 different seals. That's quite a lot, considering that their population in Greece is only 400 total. Okay, we're staying underwater for our next story, because scientists have shared a video of a real-life sharktopus. Now, before you start panicking, we're not actually talking about a single animal here. Thank God for that, honestly. No, we're actually talking about an amazing video of an octopus clinging onto the back of a shark like it was riding a horse. Moving swiftly on, it's time for our environmental update. So let's take a look at a landmark ruling that will protect the rights of uncontacted indigenous people. Ecuador is one of 9 countries that have indigenous communities who choose to have no contact with the outside world. At this moment in time, the South American nation is home to 3 uncontacted tribes that all live in an off-limits area of the Yasuni National Park, called the Intangible Zone. This zone was first established in 2007 to protect their traditional lands from illegal logging, oil extraction, and other forms of exploitation. In the last few years, however, the Ecuadorian government has been criticized for prioritizing the interests of the oil industry over the rights of their native people. In 2013, for example, they quietly redrew the boundaries of the Intangible Zone so that companies could operate in oil-rich areas inhabited by uncontacted tribes. And more recently, oil giants have been allowed to set up extraction facilities in the buffer zone that surrounds it. Thankfully, though, in March, justice was served. That's because the Inter-American Court of Human Rights has decreed that the Ecuadorian government violated the rights of its indigenous citizens. As a result, Ecuador has been banned from expanding or renewing oil operations in the Intangible Zone. From the Amazon rainforest to the European woodlands, a new national forest in the United Kingdom will see 20 million trees planted. In November 2023, the British government promised to transform 16.5% of England into forest by 2050. As part of that, they've recently announced the creation of the Western Forest. This will cover a significant portion of Western England, across the regions of Gloucestershire, Wiltshire, and Somerset. Urban settlements such as Bristol, Swindon, and Gloucester will be a major focus of this forestation drive.
The catalyst was realizing that this land had a lot more capacity to hold trees, and the trees are such an important part of the ecosystem, and yeah, I just think planting trees has to be one of the most worthwhile things that you could do.
More specifically, they've pledged to turn 20% of this western region into woodlands by 2050. In order to meet this ambitious target, they will annually pump $10 million into the western forest over the next 5 years. The project is expected to help the United Kingdom reach its target of achieving net zero emissions by 2050. All right, let's dive into the medical world, because a pig liver has successfully been transplanted into a human patient in a world first. Finding a replacement liver is extremely hard. In the United States, for example, it can take anywhere from 30 days to 5 years to find one. The speed at which you get one is dependent on a number of different factors, including the severity of the liver failure and the availability of a compatible organ. A solution to this problem is something called xenotransplantation. This is when a patient receives a temporary organ from a genetically modified animal. Eventually, it's removed and replaced when a suitable human version becomes available. Now, this treatment has a lot of potential. That's because multiple studies have shown that genetically modified pig livers transplanted into humans actually work. Typically, these experiments have been conducted on brain-dead patients who are still technically alive. This is exactly what medical researchers did back in March. The pig organ in question was given 6 genetic modifications to prevent it from being rejected by the immune system of the subject. Human genes were also inserted into the liver to make it more compatible. What followed was something called an auxiliary transplant. This is when the replacement is inserted into the body without removing the original liver. The results were incredible. The modified pig liver was not rejected, and it carried out basic functions with no issues for 10 days straight before being removed. With that being said, though, it is a little too early to say whether a pig liver could act as a full replacement for a human alternative. And that's just frankly because the patient already had a functioning liver. But most importantly, what the experiment does show is that this is a viable option that should be explored more. Moving swiftly on to technology news, scientists have broken the efficiency record for solar windows. Solar windows are essentially windows with built-in, transparent solar panels. They work by converting infrared and ultraviolet rays from sunlight into electricity, while also allowing visible light through. This type of renewable energy technology has a number of advantages. In addition to being sustainable, it can seamlessly and stylishly blend in with modern building design. If fully developed, this versatile device could eventually replace expensive solar panel farms that require enormous amounts of space. At the moment, conventional, non-transparent solar panels are up to 25% efficient. In contrast, solar windows are around 10% efficient. An international team of scientists, however, has just upped this figure to 12.3%. They did this by making a new type of photovoltaic glass that combines perovskite and organic solar cells. These see-through materials are better because they are able to convert a greater portion of the light spectrum into energy. So the million or billion dollar question, when can they be introduced on a larger scale? Well, unfortunately, due to the lack of funding and the need for more research, it'll be a long time before they're rolled out commercially, but it's certainly pretty promising. Let's take a look at another positive tech breakthrough next, because American scientists have invented a type of concrete that's carbon negative. Concrete. It's hard, durable, and great to build with. But while it may be a staple of modern construction, it is terrible for the environment. According to experts, the industrial process required to create concrete is responsible for anywhere between 5 and 10% of global carbon dioxide emissions. Carbon-neutral concrete has often been hailed as a solution, but a team from Northwest University appears to have gone one step further than that. They've invented a type of concrete that's carbon negative using a combination of seawater, electricity, and carbon dioxide. So, how is it made? And just how does it remove CO2 from the atmosphere? In simple terms, hydrogen and carbon dioxide are added to seawater. This then produces two solid substances called calcium carbonate and magnesium hydroxide. The most exciting thing is that the same carbon-negative method can be used to make other products like cement, paint, and plaster. The upshot here is that in the near future, constructing buildings might actually become good for the environment rather than bad. That is truly mind-blowing. Continuing ahead, let's talk about energy. because an advanced underwater turbine farm is set to generate clean energy for French consumers. Tidal energy, or hydropower, generates electricity from the natural movement of flowing water. This renewable energy source emits zero carbon emissions and harnesses power from tidal currents that follow a consistent behavior pattern. What this means is that its power output is way more predictable than something like wind power, for example. This brings us to the news that French energy developer Normandie Hydrolienne has received just over $35 million in funding from the European Union for an ambitious tidal farm. The NH1 tidal project will be built off the coast of Normandy in the Rose-Blanchard tidal flow, Europe's strongest underwater current. Set to open in 2028, it'll deliver 34 gigawatt hours of electricity every year, using four of the world's most powerful underwater turbines. That's enough to supply 15,000 homes. Before we continue, we just want to say a big thank you for all of your support and the feedback that you guys give us in the comments. If you want to join us on our quest to make the world a more positive place, make sure that you're subscribed right here to Good News. And now, back to the video. Installing hydroelectric facilities is just one of the measures that the French are taking to reduce CO2. It'll also make France more prosperous. That's because a new study has concluded that tackling the climate crisis increases economic growth. For decades, critics of net zero carbon policies have claimed that they hurt rather than benefit the world economy. In a nutshell, they believe that economic growth slows down when renewable energy is prioritized over fossil fuels. Now, a newly published report from the OECD has concluded net zero policies could result in a net gain to global GDP by the end of the next decade. To understand their point, let's take a look at the extreme weather caused by climate change. Disastrous events like this destroy homes and livelihoods, negatively impact food production, and force more people to migrate abroad. If strong action isn't taken to address this, the European economy will shrink by 2.3% annually by 2050. According to a recent study out of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. To put that into perspective, during the 2008-2009 recession, Europe's economy decreased by 5.5%. In other words, if it's left unchecked, by the middle of this century, there will be a serious financial crisis every single year. By strongly confronting the climate emergency, it's estimated that the GDP of the most developed countries in the world would grow by 60% by 2050. Lower-income nations would benefit even more, with a predicted 124% growth by the same date. Last but not least, we turn to society and to Denmark, which is set to ban mobile phones in schools and after-school clubs. Back in 2023, the Danish government was becoming increasingly concerned about how young people were being negatively affected by their phones. As a result, they set up something called the Danish Wellbeing Commission to investigate. The report was finally published in February of this year, and it was pretty darn revealing. The authors found that 9 to 14-year-olds spend an average of 3 hours every day on apps like TikTok and YouTube. We hope that they're at least watching Good News, but you never know. Furthermore, they showed that 94% of kids had already created a social media profile before they were 13, and that's despite 13 being the minimum sign-up age of most of these platforms. Their main takeaway was that the digitization of children's lives from an early age was contributing to poor mental health. Among the 35 recommendations they put forward, the most significant is a proposal to ban phones from school and after-school clubs. And the government has listened, because they've already begun preparing the legislation needed to enforce this. By doing so, Denmark is following in the footsteps of France, who passed a similar measure in 2018. These types of laws are part of a wider push by European countries to protect their youth from addictive social media platforms. Are you guys seeing this? I am literally glowing with positivity after all that good news. Which of our stories has made you glow the most? Let us know in the comments down below. All that's left to do now is to say thank you as always for watching, and we'll see you in the next video.